Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Here is what Micah Parsons had to say about, about Mike McCarthy, Dallas Cowboys head coach. He was asked after the game on Sunday, this is the Texans' upcoming opponent, the Dallas Cowboys. Micah Parsons, their best defensive player, was asked about the future of Mike McCarthy after their 34-6 loss to the Eagles at home. And here's what Micah Parsons had to say.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But guys, I kind of feel bad for guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
It gets dumber every time.
It's just that last part. If he had just stopped talking, it was the part where he said they put in more time than Mike McCarthy, time and work than Mike McCarthy.
Why did you have to compare them to Mike McCarthy?
And the way you phrase it, when somebody does something better than this guy ever did. Yeah, that's a slight. And Micah, in the comments I've heard, did not address that part of it. He tried to say that he was being taken out of context and everything. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, no.
Which doesn't affect us other than that, man, it is a festering boil of a situation up there in Dallas. And this is the team that the Texans face. And you hope to just try to pour on and be more of a headache and an issue.
Well, I'll say this, just, and we'll hear from Jerry Jones in just a second, but if, you know, it's easy to localize anything Cowboys this week because the Texans play them on Monday. But if I want to, independent of the two teams playing each other, if I want to take a Texans view of what Micah just said and all the dumb stuff that Micah says, It's I'm very thankful that he's like the young face of their franchise, right? It's him and CeeDee Lamb. Like, those are their two. Dak's an older guy. Those are the two, like, younger, like, but Micah especially. Micah's not even on a second contract yet. Like, he's their Will Anderson on defense. You know, like, he's their franchise cornerstone guy on that side of the ball. I'm thankful that our cornerstone guys don't say dumb things like this and yet are still really, really engaging and good doing media.
Right. Well, no, and that's, I think with Micah, that's the whole mystery around him, is that for all of the hoopla about, God, I've used that word three times this show, for all of the hand-wringing over, you know, whether Dak Prescott or CeeDee Lamb would get extended, nobody in Dallas seems all that eager to re-sign or extend Micah Parsons, and Micah Parsons doesn't seem all that eager, and it doesn't seem to be that much of a story. So, yeah, when you look at, okay, what kind of a guy is this guy, and do we need him to be the cornerstone? I feel like it just seems like he's worn out his welcome with at least a portion of the organization and the fan base.
Would you want Micah Parsons on your team at market edge rusher prices?
Oh, it's so hard because it's really, really hard because, look, edge rushers are a notoriously eccentric bunch, you know, and not all of them, but a lot of them, a lot of the best pass rushers are kind of kooky in the head. And I think it's a matter of having the right culture. And I think for Micah, he feels harmless. He's just so goofy. And I just wonder sometimes, guys, like, he's just kind of a space cadet. If he's in an environment like he is in Dallas, then maybe that's not right. And, you know, but, like, if he were to go to a different environment where there's more of a culture and there's less, you know, cameras trained on you all the time. Yes, long answer short, yeah, I would take him in a heartbeat.
He
can rush the passer like a bandit.
No, he can't. I would under one condition. Podcast over. You're not doing your podcast anymore. Not during the season and not talking about it. Like, Micah has horrible takes. And one day one of these takes are going to be the difference between winning and losing again. You're going to say the wrong thing about the wrong guy, and it's going to get used as fuel that gets you the two or three wrong plays to lose a football game.
But there's also a chance that I can't wait for when he decides that he needs to expand his horizons a little bit and he starts tackling conspiracy theories and whatnot. Okay. I really want to see that, Micah Parsons.
You can keep your podcast, but no football talk.
And it's going to be a lot of, like, you know, this is the stuff they don't teach you in high school.
Right.
And it's totally something they taught you in high school. You know, it's just, hey, did you know that Columbus wasn't the first person to, there were already people here. They don't teach you that in school. Like, they totally do, man. They totally do. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Micah is, he's a handful, man. Jerry Jones. More Jerry Jones. Well, let's hear from Jerry. We haven't heard from Jerry on Micah yet. Yeah, Jerry on Micah. Jerry taking up for Micah Parsons.
I know that his deference, and I'm serious about this, this is a fact. It was not meant, no matter how it sounded, it was not meant as a critique of the coaches or the coach. It was meant as a concern for the veteran players such as Zach Martin that might not have that much more in their career left. And he is meant as a concern to them because they don't have the length of time to right the ship as much as a player like Micah or the younger players. That's how it was meant. There's no doubt in my mind it was meant that way. There's no game. Mike does not feel, and Micah does not feel a lack of appreciation for of all people, our head coach, Mike. Micah does. I'm getting my Micah's messed up, but that's just not the case. I can tell you for a fact that is not the case. And I visited extensively with everybody involved here. That is not the case. It was an expression of being more concerned about a teammate.
That's one of those things we'll never get to see, but I wish we could. Like, I wish there was a video short that popped up of Jerry talking to all the parties involved about this whole thing. You know, like, I talked to everybody involved, and I assure you, there's nothing to see here with Micah.
Now, Mike, how many hours do you work, Nessa? Do we need to do a time clock situation?
That's what's funny about this stuff is that of all the coaches to maybe inadvertently point to the why, because I don't think Micah was throwing shade at Mike McCarthy. I think he just misspoke.
He phrased it really poorly.
But of all the coaches to call into question, the one who had a long form article written about him about how he likes to leave in the middle of the day to go get massages.
Yeah, well, because of a medical condition.
Yeah, that's exactly how everybody consumed that.
that he and Aaron Rodgers were basically like barely even on the same page when it came to what offense was being run.
It's
and
just
everything.
Funny. Yeah, it's just, it's ironic is all. It's ironic.
Unless, at which point, maybe Micah Parsons is sneaky, sly like a fox, just slipping
he's
that
not,
role.
Yeah,
no.
Spoiler alert, he's not sly like a fox.
I do believe that Micah Parsons wasn't trying to throw Mike McCarthy under the bus, but I feel like he kept talking too long, and the truth came out at the end. That was the he was holding it in, and then boom, there at the end he did.
Here's Jerry Jones. A big topic with the Cowboys in their game against the Eagles this past week was the sunlight coming in through the windows of Jerry World and blinding, at one point, blinding CeeDee Lamb out of a touchdown in a 34-6 loss. I don't know why. Like, the stadium's been around forever, and this is the first I'm hearing about sunlight issues with it. But here was Jerry Jones on the sunlight shining into Jerry World.
Every venue has certain things that at certain ways and times in the contest can create an advantage. That really goes under the category of home field advantage. And so usually, and that's the case with us, that if there's a field, or in the case it's your home field, which it is of the Dallas Cowboys, it should be an advantage to the home team. So I don't want to adjust it. For one reason is because it is an advantage to us. Over the years, we've played 52 games that have anything to do with the time of year when that sun could be there, obviously eliminating night games and games where the sun is not wouldn't be involved. But we've had 52 games. We've won the majority of them. But more important than anything, we know where in basketball, we know where the dead spots are on the floor. That's our advantage. That should be our advantage. We get to play there more, and we get to have it as advantage. It has been an advantage for us to know where the sun is. I don't want to change that.
My head hurts. My dead spots on a basketball floor are something that they're not out, like, they're sort of secretive. You know what I mean? And I don't even
there's
know that
just, the, like the, there's a lot of familiarity and a lot of reps with it where you're on there all the time. You're just more comfortable with that.
You can't see it.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing anymore with dead spots on a basketball floor, home field advantage. You know, Jerry talks about home field advantage. Home field advantage are things that you get that the other team doesn't get, like the crowd. Should be a home field advantage where you are. Like, they're cheering for you. They're not cheering for the opposition. That is something that the opposition, in theory, does not have. The sun is a fixed thing that is in the sky for both teams while you're playing. Like, there is no advantage that the Cowboys get from the sun and its positioning that the other team doesn't
well,
get.
But his point, though, was that because they play it and they deal with that challenge more frequently, which is that they've got an advantage. Kind of like if you play in the Northeast and you play in cold, nasty weather a lot, you theoretically have an advantage in those circumstances. And Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, who spent a lot of time in Dallas, said that it did affect his play calling, and there was an awareness of where the sun was. I don't think it's something that's so impossible to deal with that you need time. Like, oh yeah, because our quarterbacks have been through this already.
No, I don't think
it's as big a deal as Jerry wants to point it out.
But the Cowboys similarly have to deal with it when the sun doesn't just go down for the Cowboys and go up for the Eagles. Like, that's silly to me.
Well, okay, but likewise with bad weather in New England.
Right.
So the teams that, if a dome team goes to play in bad weather, it's the same elements for everybody, except the New England team just has more experience dealing with it.
So the retinas on the Cowboys looking into the sun are impervious to the sun, whereas
they've
the Eagles...
They've trained themselves for it.
They spend a segment of practice staring into the sun.
They spend 5 minutes a day.
That you are taking up this tripe right now is bothering
me. I'm saying that there's some validity to what he's saying.
No, there's
but
not.
It's not. I don't think it's as much as he's blowing it up to be. He went from saying like it's no big deal to by the end of it, and actually, I by next week it'll be that they specifically wrote it into the designs because they wanted it that way.
I need people to weigh in. Am I being unreasonable saying that Jerry is out of his rocker? He's out of his tree saying that this is a home field advantage for the Cowboys. Text him, 5 Hour Energy Fan Line. You're getting me as heated as my son got me yesterday, man, when he forgot.
I think it could in theory be a home field advantage, but on the scale of 1 to 10, I would put it in there with like maybe when you paint the opponent's locker room pink to try to subdue them, you know.
Fair enough.
Right there. I'll put it at
one. I'll put my weapons down. That's good. Dude, my son hit the hat trick on his visit this week. My son James was visiting this week.
Three different women?
Three. No, not that I know
what?
Of. Not that I know.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't around him the whole time. No, he pissed me off three times. My son James comes in. He's my older son. He's 26. So he came in part business, part to see the Texans and the Lions play. And he went to a couple Rocket games. So he had a good trip.
Yeah. But it was a mullet of a trip.
It was a mullet.
It was business in the front, party in the rear.
Hell yeah. So Sunday he goes to the game, and he and my son sit in the Odyssey suite, and they go home afterwards. Amy's already home. They get home at like 10:30. I'm at the stadium doing the post game till 1:30 in the morning. James is staying with us. He got home after Amy. So I get home at 1:30. I go to unlock the door, you know, wave my key fob in front. Go to open the door. Doesn't open. James deadbolted the door shut.
Sean, that neighborhood you live in, there's upper curvy streets up there. You never know.
You can leave my doors unlocked for 2 weeks. It wouldn't matter. He deadbolts the door. So I think he just wasn't thinking, or he was trying to explain, like, well, I thought that you could still open a deadbolt. I'm like, then what? From the outside, no, that's what the deadbolt is there for. So,
yeah.
So that was number one. Number two, Monday, I get home, and I had two bagels left, a plain bagel and a cinnamon raisin bagel, and I had been saving that plain bagel to make a chicken salad sandwich. It was sitting there. I left it there specific to make a sandwich for lunch. I get home at about 8:30 because you and I get done early on Mondays. Mm-hmm. James is at the counter working at his, you know, at his day job there. He's doing his thing. He and I talk for a little bit, and then I say, I'm going to go take a quick nap. I only got 3 hours of sleep last night. I go take a quick nap. I come back out at 11 o'clock, and that bagel is gone. He ate the last plain bagel. Yeah. So I was dreaming about that.
He probably thought he was doing you a solid by taking the plain bagel.
Dude.
He was like, well, I won't take the delectable one. But not knowing, like, nobody wants a chicken salad raisin bagel sandwich.
He suggested that. The little jerk. He's like, well, you can just put it on the cinnamon raisin bagel. Cinnamon raisin bagel with chicken salad? James, no, that ain't happening. He's just looking at me with that smirk on his face as I know that bagel is navigating his lower intestine. He's like, sorry, Pops, you didn't tell me. It was that scene from The Sopranos where Tony walks into the Bada Bing and he opens the fridge and his food is gone. He's like, I was dreaming of that GD lo mein the whole way over here. Who keeps eating my bleep? You know, that's what that was.
This is always a mob boss. You got to know to put your name on it.
You do. You know? You do. Yeah, don't
Tony,
eat that guy's.
With a little smiley face in the O or something.
A little happy face. James, faux pas number three, yesterday. Uh-huh. Taking him to the airport. He's got a 3:50 flight, so I'm going to take him kind of super early just to beat the traffic. You know, I don't want to get into that late afternoon traffic. So about 1 o'clock, we head out to Hobby. We get to the airport and pull into the drop-off for Southwest, open the door, pulling out his bags, getting ready to give him a big hug. Because even despite these foibles that I'm talking about, I still love the kid. He's a great kid. Despite him eating my bagel and locking me out of my apartment.
Right, despite these many injuries you've suffered. Yes.
Right, I still lean in to give him a hug. He's like, oh, crap, Pops. My ID is at the concierge desk at your building.
Wait, like his government ID?
His driver's license. Yeah, because he needed it to get a key to my apartment.
Yeah.
They give him a key, but you have to give him your license.
I thought you meant like his ID, like his employee ID or something.
Like his ID
he needs to get on his airplane.
To get on a plane. And I'm like,
oh.
We drive all the way back.
Oh.
And then he took an Uber to the airport.
Oh, that's good at least.
He volunteered. I said, no, man, I'll bring you back. He's like, no, you got stuff to do. And then he looked it up and he's like, it was like $25. And he's like, oh, no, I'll take. But it was, other than that, it was a great weekend. I had a great time. But boy, he had a rough about 36 hours there.
is he your spaciest child?
He's the one probably most likely to do stuff like this. It's very strange because I think I've said this before. I think he's the most intelligent of the three. Like book smart, like very analytical, super good with numbers. That's why he does the job that he does. He's the one. He is the Murphy's Law of the three, probably. You know?
Right. Yeah. I feel like he and I. Yeah, we'd be. Oh, you probably had bad news together.
You'd be dynamite together.
I've showed up at the airport on the wrong day before. Like, I've actually just tried to scan my boarding pass. Oh, I go, ma'am, can you help me?
A buddy.
She's like, I don't know if I can help you. You need. Are you working with an occupational therapist?
That's
here?
A loaded question. You know?
Yeah.
A buddy comedy with you and James.
Just. Walking around, screwing stuff up.
Or reality
Homer
show.
Simpson and our way through the nuclear power plant.
That was crazy, man. That was crazy. All right. People weighing in if I'm being a little overly, uh, little people weighing in on my Jerry Jones. The dismissal of Jerry Jones. I'll read some of these texts in a little bit. People weighing in on that. All right, up next, the O-line shuffle. Did it work? Will it work better this week? D'Amico Ryan's talked about the pass blocking yesterday. We'll hear from the Texans head coach coming up next.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I will say just one thing real quick, Seth, as I outlined all the three ways in which my older son James disappointed me when he visited this week. I will say one thing. Two things. We had a great visit. It was great to see him. He's awesome. But also, it was really cool for me. Like, he's got a really good job with a big liquor distributor, and it was cool to like watch him work. Like, he's at the counter in our kitchen, and he's got like a couple laptops out, and he's on all these Zoom calls with these like big account teams.
Oh yeah.
And there's like all these people. I kind of peer over and look at the Zoom calls. I'm like, dang, he's like holding court with people that are like my age, you know?
It's cool,
like,
though. Yeah, I see him doing all this adult stuff.
Yeah. Because all my kids are still, you're probably the same way. Like, my kids are still all 10 years old to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, wow, they're really competent, more competent than me in many ways.
Yeah. No, that's what I just said to Lopez and Reggie. Yeah. I'm like, I'm watching all three of my kids do their jobs out in the real world. I'm like, I'm not equipped for that anymore. I'm here to crack jokes with Seth every day, and that's it. That's all I'm equipped for.
That's a lot better than the opposite, where if you're just sitting around and be like, oh, look at these. Like, I'm the one that knows what's good. I'm the talented one here. Yeah. These jackasses, none of them deserve my, write them out of my inheritance.
That's right. In which they'd be disappointed in anyways. Yes.
I do not make that threat much at all anymore after the Menendez brothers binge that I've been on. No.
Yeah. That'll set you straight for sure.
I'm threatening an inheritance like a mofo. Been doing that. Start them young.
I still haven't watched the one with the actors yet. I've watched the doc recently.
You didn't watch like the miniseries on Netflix?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Every time you watch a different, I've watched some of the Menendez brothers stuff, and by the end of it, been like, I can't believe that the DA acted that way. The Menendez brothers were in the right, and then I've watched other ones where I'm all depends on what the documentarian
is. It's tricky. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday. D'Amico Ryans asked by the media about pass blocking. How'd the pass blocking do against the Lions on Sunday?
Yeah, with the change on our offensive line, when it came to the protection, I thought the guys did a better job of protecting this past week. And, with the run blocking, it was too many negative plays for us, where we have to definitely, attack the line of scrimmage more, be more aggressive running off the football.
Text message, I think, kind of captures, you know, questions people have about this type of stuff, Seth, from 8041 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Feel like the O-line took a step with Patterson at center. Do you think they can be even better this coming week?
I think they could be. Well, I think that they, there's some potential improvements in pass protection there. I think the run blocking taking such a step back, I don't look at it as big a step back, I guess, just because I haven't, I've felt that they've improved in the run game, but that I haven't, I've been saying the entire time, like, but I don't know if it can handle adversity or if they can run when they absolutely need to run the ball. And it's not like the improved run blocking has been that, oh, wow, they're really rooting guys out on double teams and imposing their will. So they just got physically handled. They just got physically beat up in the run game. And I think that's going to be a problem with versus good defenses. It's going to be a problem, you know, in the playoffs, all of that, if they can't figure out a way. And I don't think that that's something you can fix in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
they can improve on the pass protection, but, oh, they're not physically tough enough to really run the ball against good teams. I don't know when you – that's something that you got to fix when somebody's 13 years old.
Cowboys, you know, suck against the run.
None of these guys had their inheritance threatened when they were young. That's why they're none of these kids had their parents threaten their inheritance if they don't play harder.
Yeah, parents out there, you want to set your kids straight today, threaten the inheritance. Do it.
Yeah. You got a young offensive lineman, you don't think he's playing with tenacity? Threaten his inheritance.
Yeah. Sure, Laramie's going to be really, really concerned about his inheritance getting threatened. $25 million a year contract. The Bears released Nate Davis moments ago. You just told me that during the break. And if for those of you saying, who? Fair. He's a guard that played for the Bears. He's a veteran guard that had been playing for the Bears this season. If you don't recall, we'll refresh your memory. There was a rumors column, I think, on ESPN a few weeks ago about a possible Kenyon Green for Nate Davis straight up trade out. I think Jeremy Fowler might have had that for ESPN, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that the whole thing with Nate Davis is, okay, yeah, the Bears were trying to trade him for a reason, just like the Texans were trying to trade Kenyon Green for a reason. And then in both players' cases, yeah, there were reasons that teams didn't want to sign him. Yeah. Nate Davis hasn't been good the last couple years. It's interesting, though, because I thought he played for Tennessee for three or four seasons, and I thought he was like a passable NFL player. You know, it wasn't a strength. I didn't think of it as a glaring weakness that I can remember. But he went to Chicago, and he's just not been the same player at all. So I could totally see him being a get him in the building guy. And just, all right, let's see. Maybe it's a system. Maybe it's a coaching thing or something. Maybe he's a better fit than what we have right now.
I'd be a little surprised if the Texans didn't put a claim in on him just because Nick Caserio was one waiver-claiming mofo last year at this time of year. I mean, he was picking up Derek Barnett, and he was picking up Tyrann Tart. He was picking up Adrian Amos. He picking up Kareem Jackson he picked up.
Right. Well, and Derek Barnett could be a guy. That's a good example because Derek Barnett hadn't been the same guy with the Eagles that he had been earlier. He got a change of scenery, and it was like he was reborn, you know? And so you just get him in the building and see what he can do.
He did. I feel better. It's kind of like with the Astros where you trade for a pitcher who's not been good, and you're like, yeah, but they're coming here. And if they come here, you're going to get the best version. I do feel like with defensive linemen, the Texans could be that because of D'Amico being the defensive coach that he is. I don't feel similarly about offensive linemen necessarily that come in here and could be. I'm not saying you could be. You may be right. Change of scenery might be good for the guy. You never know.
Yeah, you're right though.
it's just not. That's not the position.
Like sending your son to a whorehouse, hoping he becomes a priest. It's not like it's. You know, you gotta try
exactly
to put people in the
thinking.
Right environment.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We should point out that Nate Davis, if he were a veteran getting released in training camp, he'd be a free agent. Once the trade deadline comes and goes, every player who gets cut by a team has to go through waivers. So the Texans, wherever they're sitting in the waiver order right now, probably somewhere around 20th, you know, 6-4 on the
higher
season.
Than they used to be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this isn't like the Cully and Lovey years where they get first pick of everybody. So we'll see what happens with that. People weighing in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Jerry Jones tried to convince everybody that the sunlight shining through the windows at Jerry World was a home field advantage for the Cowboys. Yeah.
And I stood up for him.
You stood up.
I'm the one man that was brave enough to stand up and speak.
It's not just that you stood up for him. It's that you sounded so proud just now to stand up for him. People were weighing in. Seth's off his rocker on this one. LOL. Jerry is full of it. Jerry is bat bleep crazy, but this isn't why.
This sounds like I'm bat bleep crazy now.
Someone said, just rotate the stadium 90 degrees. Problem solved.
Yeah. Like, it's not difficult engineering. I figured that out.
Oh my God.
Well, that texter and I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, the easiest explanation is just to have some curtains for when it's an issue.
Which they do for concerts and things. For other events, they have curtains. That's what we had a texter.
So the curtains are there already?
They just choose
not to use them?
We'll ask Reggie about this during the toss because Reggie came in. Reggie poked his head in during the break.
Yeah.
And just said, like, yeah, Jerry's just talking to be talking kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we've had people text in. And I saw this yesterday, too, when this story was getting covered about the sun at Jerry World, which is they have curtains that they use for other events there to block the sun.
I thought they were just encouraging him to install curtains.
No,
I didn't know that he had the curtains already.
There's apparently curtains that have been used before in that stadium, and that has been a topic up in Dallas. It's now a national topic because it cost them a touchdown in a game against the Eagles, but apparently this has been a thing for a while now with Jerry. So he's been... now someone is on team Payne and Jones to some degree here.
Yeah.
If you had the approximate time that the sun was going to be shining and you chose on the coin toss which direction the opposing team would be facing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I assumed that you would be thinking of all of those and take it for granted that that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Or just exactly like where the angle is going to be given that time of year. You've got to get top astronomers working on this case weeks in advance. Top astronomers. And to figure out exactly when and where the sun will be. Nobody knows except the top astronomers and any newspaper.
And the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah, so this is a devastating time and expenditures on the opposing team. They have to get ready to try to figure out where the sun gods are going to put that thing.
No, that's good. It's a better argument.
These teams don't even own sundials. They got to go out and invest in them.
It's a better discussion if there are good reasons for it, and I'm open to it.
Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, says it factors into the play calling.
Cinco texts in. I agree with Seth. Texting in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. I agree with Seth. If you deal with something more than someone else, your team, you team ways around it. Okay, I don't know what that means. I think it's a mistype. Scheme ways around it, maybe, that other teams can be trapped by. It's a small advantage, but it's an advantage, in my opinion.
And my contention was not that I wasn't completely backing up Jerry. Jerry, the way he was describing it, I would say it started off as like, well, yeah, like it's not that big a deal. And by the end of it, it turned into, well, I mean, basically, we planned for this and designed it this way.
Oh,
you know,
God.
He's trying way too hard to act like it wasn't a mistake to position the field where they
have. You been to that stadium before?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not.
I've only been there. I've been there for the Big 12 championship like 13 years ago. And I went to a WrestleMania there. I've not been there to experience like this, and we took a tour of it like several years ago when Amy and I took the kids up to Dallas. We took a tour of it, but other than that, Jerry talks about like we want it to feel like it's an outside stadium. Like, no, dude, it doesn't feel like an outside stadium.
Do you know what though, Sean? I will say maybe one of the reasons I'm a little bit more open to this was the old RCA Dome in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
there was a window around the top, the whatever the ground level one was. There was one time in a game, we were like standing during a TV timeout or something, and all of a sudden the sun moved into that window, and it was like blinding for a minute.
Really?
And I did think at first, I was like, I thought like, man, if I were trying to like cover, if I were a defensive back trying to cover right now, and that's in my line of sight.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when Jerry Jones and I first started collaborating on ways to scheme this into a competitive advantage.
And then you got my son James.
I sent him a dossier of facts and findings on the matter.
There you go. There you go.
And I got him in touch with top astronomers.
I think if you suggested this to Jerry, he would hire an astronomer, I think. Well, that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
He's definitely got an astrologer. So, yeah.
Oh, astrologer. Yeah. Yeah. Big difference,
kids. I feel like the astrologer would be lobbying against the astronomer.
Big difference, kids. Yeah. All right. The Texans are big box office. We've got the numbers to prove it. We will have that for you, and we will talk to the guys on In the Loop. We'll get Reggie's take on curtains at Jerry World. We'll get all that heading towards the top of the hour. That's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So the Texans are putting asses in seats, man, at least on couches in front of televisions. Ooh. On Sunday nights in Week 10. Yeah, 19.3 million viewers on average for the Texans' 26-23 loss to the Lions. Well, Seth, it's funny you ask. If you want some contextualization for that,
yeah.
It is the most watched Week 10 Sunday Night Football game since 2019. So it's the most watched. I'll even make it sound spicier, or put a little more confectionery sugar on it. Mm-hmm. It's the most watched Week 10 Sunday Night Football game of the 2020s. How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That sounds even better.
Yeah, of this decade.
Yeah, of this entire decade.
Of this decade so far, yeah. Do you want to hear what the other matchups were and see if...
Yeah, let me see who these... what mighty Titans they took down.
These are the games that the Texans and the Lions were sexier than on Sunday. Last season, it was a Week 10 battle between the Las Vegas Raiders and their interim head coach, Antonio Pierce, versus the Zach Wilson quarterbacked New York Jets.
Yeah, that's right. We beat some name brand quarterbacks there, Sean.
I think this might have been right after they fired Josh McDaniels in Vegas that game. I think it might have been the next week. So the sexier than that game, I would say. 2022, you had the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh.
With defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
At the Los Angeles Chargers.
All right.
Not the Rams. Rams
would have been a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Chargers, not so much.
Not so much. 2021, Kansas City Chiefs.
Ooh.
Now, this is the Chiefs when they were still just a single-time Super Bowl winner in 2021. Yeah. A scrub
Losers.
Franchise. They were at the Raiders that year. That was a... It was a Derek Carr joke.
I'm surprised that's still always a natural.
I am too.
Huge fan base with the Raiders, also. Yeah,
and
I'm
the Chiefs. I am too. This one on paper sounds like one where you're like, wow, they beat this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2020. New England at Baltimore. You go, wow, okay, New England at Baltimore. But 2020, COVID year, that was the Cam Newton Patriots.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Which almost doesn't even register in my brain as it ever happening. Yeah. I always, in my mind, it's like Cam played two or three games for the Patriots. I guess, and it's because of that, how weird everything about that COVID year was.
Yeah.
I still, every now and then, I'll see a highlight from that year and you catch a glimpse of where the stands are empty. And it's kind of jarring, and it was just surreal.
Yeah, you and I don't think we ever did a home game. We did one home game.
It was the Minnesota one, right?
Was it the Minnesota one or the Baltimore one? It was one of the O'Brien games. It might have been the Minnesota one. It might have been the Minnesota one. But we did one, maybe two, but I think just one game from the stadium, and we did studio pregame and postgame all year that year. They wouldn't let us in. To the state, which I didn't have a big problem with.
No, but it was always just, it was empty. And,
yeah, it was weird.
But for a few people. And but anyway, that's...
Those are the sexy games the Texans beat, but like a drum, with 19.3 million viewers. This little stretch of primetime games, mm-hmm. the Texans have kind of... I really would like them, obviously, to win one of these games, and they're primed to win one here. The Cowboys are a mess right now. But it really is like they've almost been like a Forrest Gump team in this whole thing. Like, they have found themselves in the middle of big storylines with these games. You know, like with the Jets, you know, the Jets were in the middle of, you know, not in the middle of, but they were just post firing their coach and Devontae Adams, and their season's teetering on the brink at 2-6. Like, a lot of soap opera. The Lions game, I think they caught the Lions on the week where everybody was starting to get all in on this being the best team in all of football. Like,
mm-hmm,
the Lions,
right.
They're the hottest team, you know?
Yeah, and it was, those ratings are driven much more by the Lions side of it and the intrigue over them as a team, and that it was they had to come back. So, yeah, you've got the most buzzworthy team in the NFL right now, and they made a huge comeback.
And they made buzz, yes.
That part of it, it was just a really good game. And the way they calculate these, it's like average viewer. So the amount of time people watch matters. There were a lot of reasons to stay watching in that game.
There sure were. And now you got this Cowboys game coming up, and I can't look at the TV in our studio for more than 5 minutes without a Cowboys story popping up.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama going on with the Cowboys right now, there will be for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so it's kind of strange. It hasn't just been three straight primetime games. It's been three straight primetime games that all have been like right at the nexus of the NFL news cycle.
The other thing, when it comes to the broadcasting stuff and everything, which I don't know if this was more interesting to me than I thought it would be. Netflix announced that they have sold all the advertising for the two games that they're going to be broadcasting on Christmas
Day. Oh, yeah?
One of which is the Houston Texans. And it was one of those headlines where I was like, oh, I basically got the introduction, the plot, and the conclusion all at once there. I didn't know that was a thing, but I'm happy that it happened. Apparently, I don't know, people had questions about, hey, Netflix doesn't sell advertising for their stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's a big part of it. Is there going to be enough demand for it and what have you? And apparently there was.
Are you looking at an article for this or just
earlier today. Yeah.
Did you happen to see what they're charging? Like what type of prices by any chance?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
If they're giving like big discounts or something.
Well, or just, I'm just curious what the demand is, the advertiser expectation. I have no idea what to expect from these Netflix broadcasts on Christmas. they're outsourcing everything. They're the announced teams and the production of it. Like it's all.
Yeah.
So I expect it to be good or else they wouldn't be hiring these outlets to be doing it. I'm just and we won't really get to consume the broadcast part of it until afterwards, you and I, because we'll be up in the press box watching the game.
So Netflix is leaning into the live sports broadcasting.
Yeah,
they're doing the Jake Paul Mike Tyson
Saturday
fight.
Baby. Yeah,
that's right. I'm ashamed of myself for
you gonna watch.
To get excited about that. I think yeah.
Why?
What's that?
Why are you embarrassed about getting excited about it?
Because it's just I don't think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be Mike Tyson like trying to remember not to like he really doesn't want to injure anybody for however many rounds they're going, and he's going to toy with him, and it's going to be a little.
It's going to be a spectacle. Who cares if it's not the gold medal Olympic boxing match?
Yeah, is it going to be that much of a spectacle? I feel like Tyson had actual hate in his heart for Jake Paul and like wanted to prove something. Then it would be a spectacle.
I'm talking about the whole thing. Not just the fight. The whole thing is going to be a spectacle. The introductions, the marches down to the ring, the interviews. Like this is the WWE in me. You know what I mean? Like this is more like Jake Paul's brother Logan Paul is a WWE performer. This is the world they live in. You know.
I just said, well, you know what they're not doing a good job of, Sean? Hmm. They're not doing a good job of selling it because the pro wrestlers don't like. Give a little, we're just playing smirk at the end of everything.
No.
I'll see these things that are clear.
Yeah.
They're clearly trying to make it look like Jake Paul and Mike Tyson hate each other. And then you watch them at the end of the video. They're both kind of like, that was funny. Guys, cut the video a little earlier so I can try to act like they genuinely hate each other.
We are getting paid. We are getting paid. That's what it is. That's the smirk. And you're right.
I hate you so much, Jake, because I have to.
Yeah.
Until I thank you so much. I love you.
It's going to be a real match, I'm assuming. I'm assuming the results aren't fixed. They're really going to box.
No. They're definitely going to fight.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
But wrestlers wouldn't, at the end of like cutting a promo on each other, turn to the camera and smirk about it's all scripted, you know?
Right. Yeah, they sell the, if you're trying to promote this fight and sell it, sell it.
Sell the anger, man. People love conflict. They love conflict. So you are going to watch it or you aren't going to watch
No,
it?
No, I probably will. Yeah.
I'm definitely going
to watch it. I don't want to buy it, though. So where do I go?
Well, I don't think you have to. If you have Netflix, I think you...
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix. I just watch it on Netflix.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Well, hell yeah, I'm watching it.
You're already paying for it, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
You going to eat that donut? Yeah. Well, it's in the box that you already bought. Buy it. Eat it. It's there.
Thank
are you going
to
watch
explaining
it?
To me
oh,
how
I am
works.
So going to watch it.
You, yeah.
I am so going to watch. And actually, listening to you to Seth, it reminded me of a Richard Pryor bit.
Okay.
So back in the day, some people may not even remember Richard Pryor at this point, but I think most do.
One funny SOB, man.
Yeah. Back in the day, he said that he did a exhibition match with Muhammad Ali, and okay. It was all for fun, yeah. You know, and raising money. And he says, when the bell rang, he thought, this SOB is going to have a flashback and I'm dead.
Yeah.
Like he's going to, once the bell rings and Mike Tyson hears it.
Oh, man.
And he's in this mood and he's been training. I'm watching it for the flashback. I'm watching it for the flashback.
Yeah, old Tyson shows up because he's in pretty good shape these days.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's, you know, like with Mayweather versus McGregor, now Tyson was a different type of fighter than Mayweather, but I'm going to be really surprised. I don't know if this turns into a genuine brawl.
Who do you expect to win?
Oh, Tyson.
You do? Okay, because Paul's the favorite right now.
Yeah, great. What are actual boxing people saying?
I don't know. That'll be the project for today. I'm going to go.
Well, Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, the odds were not nearly what they should have been, and that's where the sharps really took it. The sharps went in on Mayweather because all these people, because Conor McGregor is so good at selling a fight and hyping himself up and everything, people thought that it was going to be more of a contest than it actually was.
Yeah. You watching it, Reggie?
Yeah, man. I will fall a victim to the spectacle, even though, as I cry against spectacle in boxing, right? The true sport is dying because of the spectacle. Sign me up for two tickets. I'm that guy. No, but I'm taking Tyson in this one. Jake Paul lost to Tommy Fury.
Tyson Fury's
less good brother. Jake Paul has the things to be a good boxer, but it feels like he has not gone through the normal route. Like he hasn't gone through the ladder that you typically, the Mike Tyson's punch out ladder where you find yourself getting better over the course of it.
He hasn't fought Bald Bull yet.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Like, and you got to do that in order
Glass
to get your way up there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Glass Joe.
He keeps booking. He was booking a lot of tomato cans and then, he's booking spectacle.
About Glass Joe.
Glass Joe, man.
And there's one thing we know about Tyson. Tyson can box, man.
He can.
The sharps are actually the ones that favor Paul on this one.
Okay,
there's a lot of jamokes like me, according to the boxing analysts that I've read in the last 3 minutes. It's just jamokes on the street like me that don't realize. Hey, Tyson is 60. He's 60. If there's any kind of endurance factor
square.
In this,
yeah, I'm a sucker. In a square. He's a square.
Old Iron Mike. His nickname's Iron Mike, you know what that means? Yeah. Hey, you can't batter iron. Nothing beats iron.
I was ringside for Spinks and Tyson, too, I tells you, Mackie, and I saw a fighter out there that was a bulldog. Plus 172, you can get Tyson right now if you want. Paul is minus 210. Those are
Tyson.
The odds. All right, so Reggie Atitula, who spent many years up in Dallas, and I feel like this is a great Reggie week because we got the Cowboys coming up. Got intimate knowledge of that team and all the drama going on right now with Jerry Jones and everything else.
Yep.
So the curtains in Dallas.
Yeah.
Help us out here. They have curtains for that sunlight.
Always have, right? Like obviously, if you have things happening during the daytime or whatever, and you need to black that out, they have that available because those end zone windows, real big, and obviously it lets
a
lot of light.
Do they hang like shades in my apartment where I can just start pulling on a thing and they come down? Or
I believe so. I mean, I would imagine so that they'd have to be installed in that way. Mm-hmm. But this is pure petulance by Jerry Jones. Like they're there. And that you can pull them down or apply them or whatever. And they do. They do. And this has been a conversation year after year after year when the Cowboys, who, again, always on that Fox NFL America's Game of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
In that late afternoon slate, when that sun can peer in. And yet still, every year, you'll have an instance where Jerry Jones is asked about the damn curtains. And he'll say this. Well, they have to deal with the sun just like we do.
But here's,
we know where it is.
Here's where I kind of side more with Seth on this.
Yeah.
I got your point. Like, the sun is the sun. I mean, it's there all the time.
Right.
But we live in a world, the Cowboys live in a world in which coaches and general managers and people like Jerry Jones, they practice and plan for the most minute little edge that they could possibly have.
Yeah,
they shine spotlights in the receiver's eyes.
And, no. What I'm saying, though, is planning for it in terms of
it's going to be
coin
there.
Toss, side of the field, when you're going to have the ball.
Even to the extent maybe with the Sun, and I can listen to this, yeah. with the Sun, where they know from 4:13 to 4:26 is the time where it's
You're not wrong about, yes, the Sun is always there, and neither is Reggie. But in a world where the planning is so detailed, I mean, hell. You know, Bill Belichick was talking about the wind. We all saw that video. Oh, and then when the wind goes this way, it's you can undercut the ball and get in. I'm not saying he's Bill Belichick, but I'm saying they plan.
Fair. And I mean, okay, the Cowboys' opponent in that game, the offensive coordinator there, Kellen Moore, was previously, he played on the Cowboys team. He was a coordinator there. They accounted for it. Yeah. The problem is you can only do so much accounting for the Sun is in your eyes, right? Like, you can't acclimate for that, though.
Well, and keep the broader perspective. Like, let's remember, Jerry is talking about what an advantage it is while responding to a question about his own player blaming it for being an issue.
That's
like, okay,
my point.
You're saying we've got this great advantage. It's like you handed a box of hand grenades to a bunch of guys with no arms.
The only...
You're like, they can't... They're not the, okay, great, you gave the Cowboys this big advantage. They don't know how to use it, you clown.
The only way it's an advantage is if the other teams don't plan for it, too, because they don't think about it.
Yeah, but you're there every week.
I get it, but like the Eagles could have just as easily planned for the same window of time. They were, like Kellen Moore, as we just explained. Like, that's where I'm getting uptight about it, is it's not a home field advantage. It's something both teams can plan for. Mm-hmm. Like, a home field advantage is you've got 100,000 people screaming that aren't screaming for the opponent. You know what I mean? So I get it.
Unless,
like, it's a nuance to the stadium, but it's not a home. Like, it's the Green Monster's not an advantage for the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
But they build their team around it.
Okay, so the Cowboys going out and getting guys with bionic eyes.
No, I'm saying everything is planned for.
Yeah. But both teams can plan for it, is sort of my point.
I think it's an extra wrinkle that the opposing teams have to think about a little bit harder, but it's not nearly to the degree of like what Jerry Jones is trying to paint it out. Like, Jerry's trying to paint himself out like some genius for basically making a mistake.
He's galaxy brain.
The way they angle the stadium.
Yep. All right. Now I'm hot leaving the studio, man.
Don't be. Jerry be talking, bro. Like, he gets the people going. That's what he does.
All right. Seth, I'll see you tomorrow. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Antibodies. Yeah.
Thank you.
And maybe a Nate Davis. Whatever. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Waiver wire action. Some hot waiver wire action. We'll see. All right. We're done. We're out of time.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.